I don't know about you, but I happen to think, just like the old song says, that this is the most wonderful time of the year. And, you know, for me, right about the time we hit Labor Day all the way through December, I just feel kind of like an anticipation, a joy that is building. I look forward to this time of year every single year. But it is interesting. I was listening to three pastors, in fact, on a podcast that I listened to this last week, and they were talking about the Christmas season and getting ready for preaching around Advent and Christmas. And two of the three pastors on this podcast were saying, well, we don't really like to preach at this time of year because, you know, it's just kind of a redundant thing, a story, the same thing every single year. It's hard to be, you know, new and original. And I was thinking, I cannot relate with that sentiment whatsoever, probably because I lost the need or the feeling to need to be original a very long time ago when I realized, just as Solomon said 3,000 years ago, there is nothing new under the sun. Every single time I'm convinced I found something new and original as I'm studying through the scriptures, inevitably I will hear somebody else say like the exact same thing, or I'll read it in a commentary shortly thereafter. And on top of that, I've come to discover that most of the important things that we need to hear and know are not original or new sort of novel things. So, but it is, I think, the most wonderful time of the year. And what is it that makes it such a wonderful time of the year? Maybe for some people, it might be decorations, it might be getting together with family, though for some of you might be going, that is not why it's the most wonderful. Maybe it's parties. I know in talking with Pastor Marcus, convinced that one of the most wonderful things about this time of the year is eggnog, which I think is disgusting. Here's Pastor Mark. Yeah. Okay, how many of you don't like eggnog? Come on, brothers and sisters. Oh, yes, yes. Mark's taking names. Okay, fine. Who likes eggnog? My wife, she can have it all. I don't want any of it. So yeah, so maybe it's eggnog. Mark is convinced there's a government conspiracy to only allow it for 3 months of the year, so he's very, very upset about that conspiracy. I know when I lived in Germany, a lot of Germans, they look forward to every Christmas a thing called Lebkuchen, which is a little cookie that is quite good, I'll admit, but they only sell it at the Christmas season. You know, Starbucks has their Christmas menu that you can only get at Christmas time. And then, you know, if you listen to the podcast, you know that Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, they have these little delightful Reese's Peanut Butter Christmas trees that are only out at Christmas time. I have to be very careful with these, though Mark and I consumed a few of them the other day. It was enjoyable. But, you know, the video that Pastor Nick cut together really did a great job on that. But, you know, you ask any of the kids, what's your favorite thing about Christmas? And they're all going to say, what? Presents that for a lot of people look forward to the gifts that we give and receive at Christmas. The gifts of Christmas are one of the things that make this time of year so wonderful. And there is this joy in giving and receiving gifts. What makes us maybe ask the question, why? Why do we love so much to give and receive gifts? And I think that one of the answers to that question is the fact that God, who created us, is a gift-giving God. He loves to give gifts. And since he made us in his image, he has imparted that joy to you and I as well. God loves to give gifts. In fact, there is a verse in the Old Testament that almost says that explicitly. It's in a kind of fascinating story in the book of Numbers about a guy by the name of Balaam. Now, Balaam's a really interesting character, and he was not a Jewish guy, but he was counted as a prophet in the Old Testament. And one of the kings whose nation was an enemy to the children of Israel, he wanted to curse the children of Israel, so he hired this guy, Balaam. He was a prophet for hire. Be careful for those guys. And so he hires this guy, and he says, what I want you to do is to curse the people of Israel. And Balaam rightly says, well, I can only do what God will tell me to do, but I'll try and help you out. So at one point, he is looking from a mountaintop at the people of Israel in the valley, and it's recorded this way in Numbers chapter 24, verse 1. Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless his people. Now, for the really technical Bible readers, they'll say, well, you know, that's speaking about the nation of Israel. That's not speaking about us. And while that's technically true, I think that in principle, we can apply that reality to us as well. We are God's people. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are grafted in. You're a part of the family of God. And Balaam saw that it blessed God, that it pleased the Lord to bless his people, Israel. Now, if you need a New Testament reaffirmation of that truth, we find one from Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. You can turn there if you'd like, if you have your Bible. If you don't, you can raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you one. Turn to about the middle of your Bible and turn to the right. You'll find ultimately the New Testament is about two-thirds of the way through the Bible. It starts with Matthew, then Mark, then Luke. Luke chapter 12. As you're turning there, just to kind of set the story a little bit, Jesus is teaching in this passage and he's talking about anxiety and worry. Now, no show of hands, but how many of you have a problem with anxiety and worry? Again, you don't have to raise your hand. Oh, we got someone who's honest enough. Now, if you did raise your hand, probably most of us would raise our hands if we're being honest and say we wrestle with anxiety and worry, even though we realize it's not good for us. I mean, even the scriptures make it clear, but also we find even just in research, secular research says that worry and anxiety, fretting, is not good for us health-wise. And not only is it not good for us health-wise, but God actually commands us to not worry, which we all break that command really, really well. And here in this very passage in Luke chapter 12, Jesus, he again reaffirms that truth that we are not to worry. And then he gives us a number of reasons why we should not worry. And in the midst of this, he says this. Look down at Luke chapter 12, if you're there, verse 32. Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid, little flock." Why? "For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Another way of saying that is, it makes your Father in heaven happy to bless you. Just like what we saw there in Numbers chapter 24, verse 1. It pleased God to bless his people. It's your Father's good pleasure to give to you blessings, the kingdom. Now, these are important truths. I think truths that we need to know and hold close in our hearts for one reason, because there's a lot of people who have a misconception about God in heaven. They have this picture of God as if he's kind of up there as this, you know, kind of dour and not so happy being who's just looking for things to like make bad, you know, kind of smite people. He's got a button in heaven that says smite on it. And from time to time, he's just like, that one, you know. They have this picture of God, but the Bible reveals God as he truly is. And Jesus here revealing the Father, he says, God is our Father, and it is his good pleasure to give to us the kingdom, to bless us. It pleases God. It makes God happy to bless us. So we have that truth given to us by this prophet, kind of an unlikely character in Numbers chapter 24. Jesus himself drives home this truth in Luke chapter 12. And then the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, he says something similar. In fact, if you're in Luke, turn to the right in your Bible. You're going to make your way through Luke and John and Acts and Romans. And then you come to 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, a letter that the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago wrote to a church that lived in southwestern Turkey today, a little place called Ephesus. It was a very large city at the time. And Paul, in opening his letter to the church at Ephesus, he writes this. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll pick it up at verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Would you lean over and underline in your neighbor's Bible, every spiritual blessing. Just put a circle around it, underline it. "Our Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Now, those words "in Christ," that's words that Paul uses to describe the Christian. If you're a believer, you put your trust in Jesus, you are in Christ, and you have been given by your Father in heaven every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Then skip down to verse 5. "Among those blessings, God has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself." Here's the important part. "According to the good pleasure of his will." So your Father in heaven has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places according to his good pleasure. It makes God happy to bless us. And I think that this picture, this revelation of our Father in heaven is important. It's an important picture for us to hold on to because we can have wrong conceptions, wrong ideas about who God is. In fact, I would suggest to you that a lot of people that you know have a wrong understanding or a misconception about who God is. And so we need the revelation of what Scripture shows. It pleased the Lord to bless his people. It is the Father's good will to give to you the kingdom. And he's given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places according to the good pleasure of his will. And not only that, these gifts that God has given to us, we read of them in James's letter in the New Testament, James chapter 1, verse 17. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. It comes from the Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Point number one on your outline, every good gift is from our good God. And as we are at this season of the year that is in so many ways kind of centered around the concept of gift giving, and of course we're going to be talking about as we get closer to Christmas, the greatest gift that is the gift of Christmas. But as we're at this time of year that is so centered around the concept of giving and receiving gifts, this is an important truth that we need to hold in our hearts and in our minds. Every good gift is from our good God. Now, I hope that you were here last week and you heard Pastor Jason's message. His message was basically the open to this short series we're doing in coming to Christmas. And he was talking about the gift of gratitude. And if you were not here last week, I would highly encourage you to go online and listen to the message. It was a really good message. And at the end of the message, Jason was talking about the things that sometimes hinder us from being grateful, the things that hinder gratitude in our lives. And then after talking about some of the things that hinder us from being grateful, he gave three ways that we can counter these hindrances. He said that we need to count our blessings, we should write our blessings down, and that we should share our gratitude with other people. When we're thankful, we should share that gratitude. And if you were to do that, if you would go and sit down and count your blessings and actually spend some time thinking through the things that you are blessed with, the every spiritual blessing that God has given to you, and you were to write those things down, so important to write those things down, to actually see it on paper, I think that if we spent even just 10, 15 minutes thinking about privately and writing down all the things that we are thankful for, we would find that we have a long list of things to be grateful for. We are very, very blessed. A long list of things that we could give thanks for. And what we discover here in James chapter 1, verse 17, is that every single one of those good things that would be on that list comes from who? From our good God. Those things are from our good God. Now, around this time of year, a few years ago, I was reading an article on the discussion of gratitude, and it was from a secular publication, not a Christian sort of thing at all. And there's been a lot of research on this issue of gratitude, and I don't remember the exact publication where it was, but I remember the point of this article, and it was just that, that if we were to assess our lives, we would find that we have a lot of things to be grateful for, but here's kind of the interesting crux of what this writer was saying. He was saying, though we have a lot of things to be thankful for, in our current culture, we've lost sight of who we should be thankful to. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, that we do have a lot of things that we could give thanks for, but we're not entirely sure who we should give thanks to when we come to a holiday like Thanksgiving or we come into this season where gratitude is lifted up. Well, James answers that question for us because he says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father who delights to give these things to us. So it helps us to recognize that he is the one that we are thankful to. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. God gives good gifts. I'm being a little bit redundant here, but I'm being redundant for a purpose. We need to put that in our hearts and hold it in our minds that God gives good gifts. We think about the wonderful place that we have to live. If you have a place to live, you are thankful or should be. If you came here today in a vehicle that you own, it's your car. I mean, you have something to be thankful for. If you have a family to love. You have something to be thankful for. If you have a job to go to or a school to go to, then you have something to be thankful for. Food to eat, clean water, a warm bed, electricity, Amazon Prime, you know, all these things are... Right? Yes. I know. Yeah. I mean, the driver comes to my door 6 times a day right now. It's just insanity. So if there's anything good in our lives, those good things ultimately are of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Now, here's the fascinating thing that you begin to discover as you get to know God and as you study about him in the scriptures. You begin to realize that even those things in your life that maybe at this moment you wouldn't write down in the good column, if you were writing out a list and you're putting all the good things down in a column, maybe there's some things that you wouldn't necessarily put into the good column at this moment in time. But one of the things you begin to discover as you get to know God is that, just like Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So God, in his magnificent power, is able to bring about ultimate good, even in the things that we, at the moment, don't always feel like are very good. Just a few days ago, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, goes to the church here, and he was sharing with me about this business deal that he's been working on for 2 full years. He's been working on this business deal, and they were right at the very end, and the transactions, everything's complete, everything's being finished up. It was taking a little bit longer than was anticipated and hoped for, and everything finally came to a close, but as it did, the person that was involved in this transaction with my friend, took advantage of some of the things, kind of crooked things going on, and shortchanged my friend out of nearly $1 million in this deal. And he is personally losing almost $250,000 in this whole deal. And I'm talking with him on the phone, and I'm just kind of like, just broken for this situation. You know, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money to me. Like, I can't even grasp my brain. Maybe for some of you, that's like no big deal. Yeah, you know, you lose $250,000. Right, none of us are like, yeah, okay. But as I'm on the phone with him, he says to me, but you know what? I got a lot to be thankful for. God's been so good to me. And I went, praise the Lord, you're right. Yes, amen. That's the pastor remark, like, yeah, that's right. That's what, you're right. You do have a lot to be thankful for. And in that moment, I was so blessed by that response. I think God's blessed by that response, but that is the response of someone who's come to understand the truths of James chapter 1, verse 17 and Romans 8, 28. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When we begin to grasp these truths and we get to know God as he's revealed in the scriptures, not our assumptions about God, not the pop cultural views about God, the way God reveals himself. It's important we get to know God the way he has revealed himself. When we get to know God, it changes our perspective as we look at the things that God gives into our life or the things that God allows into our life. This leads us into next important passage and important point in this message. You're in Ephesians chapter 1. Continue turning to the right to another letter written by Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you turn to the right, you're going to pass Colossians and Philippians, Thessalonians. Then you get to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And pick it up at verse 17. Paul writing to Pastor Timothy, who happened to be the pastor of the church at Ephesus. We were just looking at Ephesians. He says this, 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who, underline this, gives us richly all things to, what? Wait, say that last word. Enjoy. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Point number two on your outline. Every good gift from God is for our enjoyment. Now, some of you at this point in hearing that point and writing that point down, you're saying to yourself, huh, really? Every good gift from God is for our enjoyment. And for those who are saying, really, is that, you're kind of thinking about that, the reason that we maybe pause when we look at that is because for some reason, there is kind of a stoic monasticism that has pervaded American Christian thinking. And you can see it in kind of historic Christian writings as well as you go back in the past, that there is this kind of stoic monasticism that has crept into the thinking of Christians, and a lot of us seem to think that enjoyment of things is somehow a bad thing, as if it's fleshly. If I enjoy something, it must be my flesh, and I have to die to myself, and so I can't enjoy anything, and so I have to walk through this life like, yes, everything is okay. Oh, I know, it's wonderful, but I can't be happy about it. But every good gift from God is for our enjoyment. He has given us all things richly to enjoy. We're living at a moment, an interesting moment in our cultural history, where there's this mindset, and ultimately, if you really peel back the layers of the onion, you find that it's a mindset that is stirred by carnality, like greed and jealousy. But there's a mindset that riches are bad. And yet, in this passage, now, the Bible does have some things, some cautions for those who are rich. We see that in this very passage. Command those who are rich. And we're going to look at some of those cautions for a moment. But the end of this verse is fascinating. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, you might be able to make a case for a stoicism. But I think you can make a much better case that God, who is pleased to give us good gifts, desires us to enjoy those gifts. He wants our enjoyment of the things that he has blessed us with. Now, I do want to look at the commands, the exhortation that Paul gives in 1 Timothy 6:17, because I think they're very important. First, he says, command those who are rich. And there's some in this room right now who are going, yes, there's a word for the rich people. You're thinking, I'm not one of them. But hold on a second. The facts are that you and I are among the most wealthy people in the world. And by the very fact that we're sitting here in this room, in this moment, we are in the top 1% of all people in this world. Now, when I talk about the top 1%, you might remember back to 2012 and Occupy Wall Street. You remember that whole thing? That whole thing was hilarious to me because there was a whole bunch of kids who went to NYU at that time, one of the most expensive schools in the nation. It's like $60,000 a year. And there they are camping out. We're occupying Wall Street, down with the 1%. And they're tweeting this on their $1,000 iPhones. And they're failing to recognize you are that 1%. At this moment, if you make annually more than $32,000 a year, you are the 1% in the world. So command those who are rich in this present time. That would be us. What does he say command them? That they not be haughty. The word is high-minded in the original language. Do not be high-minded. What is high-mindedness? To assume or think that you have what you have because you are so great and you are so awesome. But the fact that you and I have what we have in large part is due to the fact that we live where we live at the time that we live. The name Warren Buffett might ring a bell to some of you. He's one of the wealthiest people in the world. He's the head of an investment firm called Berkshire Hathaway. One share in Berkshire Hathaway, $250,000, a share. So Warren Buffett, he's a billionaire. And I was actually watching a documentary about Warren Buffett a number of years ago. It was a very good documentary. And he makes the point in the documentary. He says, listen, I am as wealthy as I am due in large part to the fact that I won the genetic lottery. And he went on to explain that he was born in the right place at the right time. And that's an honest, humble assessment for Warren Buffett, who, in a lot of ways, you know, there's some probably negative things people could say about him, and I don't know the guy, but from the things that I've seen, like, there's a number of things you got to, so, you know, that's not being high-minded about your wealth. I mean, the guy lives in Nebraska. If I were a billionaire, I'm not choosing Nebraska. I mean, I'm sure they got great steaks, but Nebraska? Sorry, I digress. So he says, those who are rich should not be haughty, nor should they trust in uncertain riches. Oh, this is a good truth. We just finished studying through Job for 6 weeks. And if Job teaches us anything, is that we should not trust in uncertain riches. What you have today, you may not have tomorrow. Instead, he says, command them that they should trust in the living God, the one who has given us these good gifts, the one who has given us these good gifts to enjoy richly. But after all that, he does say, every good gift from God is for our enjoyment. We saw in Numbers 24, verse 1, it pleases God to bless us. In Luke 12, 32, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us good gifts. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 5, according to his good pleasure, the good pleasure of his will, God chose to bless us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Why? Why does God do all of this? Well, I think part of the answer to the question of why is found in the words of Jesus. They're not found in the Gospels, but they're quoted by Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where Paul says, you should remember how that the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you have heard those words before? They're familiar to you. It's more blessed to give to receive. You may not even realize that it's a verse. It's a words that Jesus spoke, Acts 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God is pleased to bless us. The scriptures reveal that because there is an inherent blessing in giving gifts. And any of you who have ever given a gift, you understand that there is an inherent blessing in giving gifts to other people. And I want to suggest that that inherent blessing in giving gifts to people, the great blessing in giving gifts is the pleasure in seeing the enjoyment of the one who has received the gift. That's one of the things that compels us to give gifts to people, is to see the enjoyment of the recipient of the gift. Now imagine for a moment that you worked really hard to figure out and to save up and to purchase the special gift for that person that you love. Maybe your kid, maybe your spouse. You worked really hard for this gift. And then you're so excited to give it to them, and you give it to them, and they open it up, and they go, oh, wow, thanks, and set it aside. God bless my poor wife, because I have this problem of being somewhat unresponsive sometimes, like kind of a flat affect to things. Some people are cursed with this. I am one of them. She is cursed to be married to a husband like that. But if you're in that situation, you worked so hard to give this gift, and then you don't see the response, you thought they'd be so excited, there is a question in your mind about whether or not you want to bless them with a gift again. So I'm told, right? Yeah, okay. Pardon me for a moment. So, the joy and enjoyment the recipient of a gift exhibits increases the joy and the enjoyment of the person who gave the gift. And I believe this is true with God as well. So much so that, point number three on your outline, our enjoyment of God's gifts makes God happy. This, of course, is not the only reason that God gives us gifts. We're going to look at some other reasons why God gives us gifts, but I think it is true that when we enjoy the things that God has given to us, it increases God's joy. It makes God happy. Now again, there's other reasons why God gives us gifts, but that's at least one of them. To see another one of the reasons, you're in 1 Timothy, keep turning to the right. Ultimately, you'll get to a big book called Hebrews, and then right after that is James and 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, because Peter also talks about gifts from God in 1 Peter 4. Verse 10. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, that's all of us, we've all received gifts from God, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places we've received from God, as each one of us have received gifts from God, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Point number 4 on your outline. Every good gift from God is given to us to bless others. So God has given us gifts for our enjoyment, and our enjoyment of those gifts makes God happy, but God has also given you and me gifts to bless other people. As each one of you have received a gift, so minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, last week, Pastor Jason talked about the gift of gratitude, and it may seem strange to you to think of gratitude as a gift that God gives, but I'm absolutely convinced that the good thing that gratitude is a gift, because every good and every perfect thing comes from God as a gift to us. So gratitude is among the gifts that God gives to us that we should enjoy. And our enjoyment of this gift of gratitude, it increases God's joy, it makes God happy, and it is a blessing to other people. So we'll think about some of the other gifts that God gives to us, but just gratitude for a moment. It's fascinating that secular science is learning what theologians have been saying for centuries, that gratitude is a good thing. It's a good thing emotionally for our health. It's a good thing physically for our health. There are physical benefits. Jason talked about some of these last week, and Psychology Today has a whole bunch of articles on this, and Pop Psychology website has articles on this. There's been peer-reviewed empirical research that's been done on the effects of gratitude at the physical level, at the emotional level, and just at the societal level. When you are grateful, it blesses other people. Now, how many of you have ever worked in retail or work in retail right now? And how many of you retailers love this time of year? It can be a hard time of year because there's a lack of gratitude. But you've probably seen before when you express gratitude to someone, it lifts their countenance. It blesses other people. So gratitude is a gift that God has given to us for our emotional health, for our spiritual health, for our physical health, for the blessings of others. It brings us joy. It's an important key to a happy life. And as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, we should be grateful. We should express gratitude. But of course, gratitude is not the only gift that God has given to us that we should minister to others. There are many different gifts that God has given to you and to me that we can enjoy using, that we can bring God joy in using, that we can bless others by using. Every good gift God has given to you for your enjoyment. And as you enjoy that, the enjoyment of God increases to his praise, and it is a blessing to other people. It's true for gratitude. It's true for the other gifts, the other talents that God has given to all of us as we sit here today. It's true for the gift of hospitality. That as you who have the gift, and some of you do, God has given you the gift of hospitality. As you use that gift, you enjoy blessing other people when they come into your space, your home. You know, for some people, you don't have the gift of hospitality, and we know you don't have the gift of hospitality because the thought of someone coming over to your house just kind of makes you go, ew. You don't have the gift of hospitality. But I suggest you probably like people who have the gift of hospitality. You love to go over to their house at Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that. But for those who have the gift of hospitality, as you use that gift that God has given to you, your joy increases, and your joy increasing makes God happy and you bless other people. That's awesome. Or maybe music or singing. Maybe you have the gift of singing. Probably lots of you don't. But some of you do. And as you use that gift, your joy increases and God is praised and he is happy and other people are blessed. And there's an opportunity for you to use that gift, music and singing. There's so many different gifts like this. And if you will use that gift, your joy will increase, God will be praised and happy, and other people will be blessed. But you have to use that gift. playing music, singing, photography, woodworking, serving other people, teaching hospitality. I mean, the list is very, very long of different things that God has gifted you with. Some people say, well, I'm not really sure what my gifts are. I don't know if I have any gifts. I would suggest to you one easy way to find out what those gifts are. What are the things that make you thoroughly happy? What are the things that when you do them, you have great joy? Maybe it's baking. I don't know. It could be so many different things. And those things that make you thoroughly happy, the fact that you are made thoroughly happy by that is an indication that God gave you that gift to enjoy it. And when you use that for him, his joy increases. You're praising God and you're blessing other people. That's exactly why God gave you the gift in the first place, to use the gift for his glory. He has blessed you to be a blessing. This is exactly the very thing that God said to the first follower of God by faith. His name was Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God said, I'm going to bless you and you shall be a blessing. I'm going to bless you and it's your job to bless others. That's your response to my blessing. So how are you responding with the blessings God has given to you and the gifts that he's blessed you with? Music, singing, giving, faith, serving, praying, teaching, hospitality, photography, videography, technology, whatever it may be. What is the thing that makes you thoroughly happy? Do that as unto the Lord in praise to him to bless other people as a good steward of the manifold grace of God, and you will be fulfilling the purpose for which God created you and blessed you. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's for your enjoyment, for God's praise, for joy for God, and for blessing others. So Paul wrote that verse. We looked at it a moment ago in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich that they not be haughty or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. And then immediately he follows that up with this. Let them, who's the them? Those people who have been richly blessed by God with gifts, let them do good. Let them use their gifts to do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. So be ready to use the gifts that God has given to you. And then what's the result? Verse 19, 1 Timothy chapter 6, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. So what does Paul indicate there? As you who have been richly blessed by God, use the gifts that God has richly blessed you with to bless other people in sharing those things, you will have an eternal reward as well. Now, on the flip side of this, there's a very striking story told by Jesus. It's called the Parable of the Talents, where he talks about a person who squandered the gift, and there was a level of punishment for that. But that's for another day. We're not going to get into that. That's so down and not Christmassy. So, another time. Don't be Scrooge is basically the point on that one. He has richly blessed you and gifted you to share those gifts with other people. One final passage, one final point, and we'll be done. Would you go back to Ephesians chapter 1 with me for a moment, and we'll wrap this up. Ephesians 1, we read in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So God chose to do this because it makes him happy to do it. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. He has blessed you. He's chosen to give you gifts because it makes him happy. And to the praise of the glory of his grace. Point number 5, every good gift, when used to bless others, brings glory to God. When people see our good works from the richness of the gifts that God has blessed us with, they will glorify God, our Father in heaven. This is what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, church, listen. God has gifted you. He's gifted you with all kinds of gifts. How do you know what those gifts are? They are the things that thoroughly bring you joy when you practice them. He gave you these gifts so that you would enjoy them. And when you enjoy them and utilizing that gift that God has given to you, you make God happy. You bless other people. And in blessing other people with that gift, you bring glory to God, which the chief end of man is the glorification of God. That's the good news about the gifts of God. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? God, thank you for these every spiritual blessing that you've given to us. And they're not just spiritual blessings, they're tangible, practical blessings, gifts and talents and abilities that you've given to us. And you gave them to us for our use. And God, in using them, we are richly enjoying the blessings, and you are praised, and others are blessed. And God, I pray that this holiday season, as we celebrate the greatest gift, which we're going to be thinking about the next couple of weeks, that you would motivate us to use the gifts that you have given to us for your glory, for the blessing of other people, for our enjoyment. God, I pray that as we come into a new year, 2020, that you'd give us a fresh vision, a fresh 2020 vision to see how you want to use our gifts in the new year. And in that, our joy will increase, others will be blessed, and you will be praised. God, do a greater work, we pray. We ask this today in Jesus' name, and all those that agreed said, amen.